You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or to explore other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Esther Hatcher. It is really good to see you this morning. My title this morning is The Spirit Who Dwells Within Us. And I'm going to be kind of touching on 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, where it says that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells within you, which is good stuff. Good news for us this morning. But I have a question for you. What is the meaning of life? A friend once asked me, yeah, it's not a fun one, is it? Well, it's a big one. A friend once asked me, and actually she was struggling, she was actually in a really bad place and struggling with hope. And I remember sitting there and thinking, I think I kind of know, but I just don't know how to articulate it. Would you know how to do it? Would you know what to say when someone says, what is the meaning of life? What is the point in all of this? If someone asked me right now, I wish I could, if she asked me again, I wish I could have said that the meaning of life is relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. Even Jesus said in the greatest commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. Everything hangs on these two things. And as we've been exploring the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we haven't been trying to figure out God. So now we can go as a church, oh yeah, we've done the Trinity, tick, we now fully understand God. That isn't the point, okay? That we are not trying to work out God like a maths equation. We are not trying to do a theological exam here. The point of this whole series is to understand and discover more of God. There's a relationship to be had for each one of us. God created us for relationship, and he invites us into relationship. And today I have the privilege of speaking on the Holy Spirit. This personal presence of God. And I'm emphasizing that word personal because actually for most of us, we can easily go, well, God the Father, he's my Father. I can sing about that and I can talk about God being my Father. And Jesus, yeah, that makes sense because I can actually relate to Jesus. He can be my Jesus as well. We have that in songs too. But often we talk about the Holy Spirit, which often then makes it feel a little bit impersonal. Like he's a force, like he's a like something that happens, particularly at the end of a Sunday morning. But Scripture insists this is something far more intimate. The Spirit of God is a person of the Trinity who dwells within us. And my aim today is to introduce you for the first time to the Holy Spirit, for those who don't know, but also to reawaken that deep personal relationship for each one of us and to invite you to walk closely with God in your everyday. So quickly, let's do a whistle-stop tour of what Scripture is telling us about this long story of God's desire to dwell with his people. So it starts at creation in Genesis, and it talks about God being with us in Genesis. In Genesis 1, the Spirit was hovering over the water. And in Genesis 2, God breathed life into Adam. And Genesis 3, God is walking with Adam and Eve. Humanity's original design was relationship. Then we go to the fall, where the relationship is fractured. And God... the sin of Adam and Eve breaks down that fellowship. Holiness and rebellion cannot coexist. And we've seen that in other talks before. So I'd highly recommend you going back to talks that we've had on that specific subject, because it is an incredible thing to take in. But God does not give up. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God dwells with his people there. In Exodus, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst." Tabernacle, where God was dwelling, that tent-like structure in the wilderness with the Israelites, children of God, does actually mean to dwell. God moves towards his people once again. And then after Solomon builds the temple, moving on a few years, God is in the midst of his people once again. In 1 Kings, it says, the glory filled the temple. But again, sin and destruction creates distance. Yet the prophets speak of a future hope. Ezekiel says, "I will put my spirit in you." Something that probably baffled a few people then. It's not near you. He's not going to put his spirit with us like it was in the wilderness, but he is going to be within you. Now moving on to Jesus. Jesus suddenly turns up and he is God in flesh. In what John 1, it says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling," so he's tabernacled among us. Again, God is moving towards his people, not quite within, but there is God with us. And then after Jesus' death and resurrection, we jump to Pentecost, and now God is within us. Acts 2, it says, "The Spirit filled the believers just as God filled the tabernacle and the temple." The untouchable, holy God now indwells in sinful, redeemed humans. That's exciting. Now, the church, this is us here. We are the temple. That's what it says, 1 Corinthians, what I read out earlier, that you are God's temple and the Spirit dwells within you. This is the climax. This is where God is. This is the dwelling place. We are the dwelling place of God now. We carry his presence wherever we go. It's exciting stuff. We have God in us. No longer is he something that we have to approach with fear and trembling and hope that we've been cleansed enough in order to stay alive. He is now deep within us. So what does that look like? What does this relationship with the Holy Spirit actually look like? Many of us will struggle, like Si was talking about last week, will struggle to relate to the Holy Spirit because of fear. Because of confusion, because of bad teaching, because of weird moments at the end of those camps we used to go to, or that weird moment in the 90s when the Toronto Blessing happened. If you grew up in the 90s, there were some very interesting things that kind of went on as a child looking in, baffled me. Not necessarily wrong, just weird, but there was no understanding behind it. Or actually, it's comparison. Well, the Holy Spirit seems to do that to that person, but then to me, I just kind of awkwardly stand here. Or it's shame. Or I don't want to do that because actually, if I start crying here, then everyone will know that I've done that. Or is it disappointment? Well, I used to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, but then he's done this happened and that's happened, and I don't know if he's quite there, or I don't know if it's as real as I thought it was. Or actually, are you one of these people who actually, well, I'm not that spiritual. They can do that. I'm not the one to go up the front and give that prophetic word. Or actually, I'm not really I don't really feel those things. But Scripture paints a rich picture of the Spirit's personal work in us. John says he teaches us. He reminds us and he comforts and he speaks to us. Romans says he guides us and he intercedes for us, like Phil was bringing this morning. 2 Corinthians says he transforms us into Christ's likeness. He is not a force that we wield or control like a magician. And he does not take over us. Like that possession. possessiveness. So he is a person who walks with us. He is a person within us. Your experience doesn't need to look like anyone else. Now, this week, I went to a gig on a school night. Yes. Bold life choices when you are a full-time mum with three kids, and actually at the moment we have a house full of puppies. So you can see, as I probably was stood there before I went, really? Why did we choose to go out on a Wednesday night? I can say it was actually very good. And as I was standing in the crowd listening to, wait for it, the bagpiping rock band, Scarevo, I would highly recommend, actually. They were quite a fun band down in Portswood. If they're ever there again, you want a good night out. They were very entertaining. However, I found myself people watching. I love people watching. Do you ever go to an airport where when you're waiting for someone? My sister lives overseas, so when I have to go and pick her up, I'm always very excited because I'll get there early and just watch. And in my head, make lots of stories about the people walking past me. Yes, I've got some nods. Great. I feel bad, though, when my story gets a bit dark and I'm like, no, bring it back. They're probably lovely people. But standing in the crowd and listening to this band, I found myself there looking at the people jumping at the front. The ones having, like, at one point there was a ceilidh going on in the front because it was, you know, a bagpipe, so ceilidhs and bagpipes go together, don't they? But yeah, they were dancing at the front. Some of them were singing in their hands in the air, which is always funny when you're a Christian. You're like, oh, that looks like worship. And probably is. But there was others that were just stood completely still, face neutral, just watching. And I was thinking, why would you come to a gig if you're not enjoying it? But then I realized their eyes were locked in and they were kind of almost absorbing it. They were enjoying it just deeply and definitely not like me. And that's church. Our expressions differ, not because God is different, but because we are. And Scripture shows something beautiful, that the Holy Spirit doesn't just, the Scripture actually moves on and actually shows us it's not just about this experience of a private sense, but actually it's about, he fills us for purpose. He fills us for calling. He fills us for impact. When the Spirit comes upon someone in their ordinary life, we become a vessel of God's extraordinary work. And that's always been true. So we look at the range of people in the of people of God that God empowered in the Bible. Amos, he was a farmer turned prophet that stood up for justice and defended the poor when no one else would. Elijah, he was bold and fiery, wildly obedient, and a man whose prophetic courage shifted a nation. Bezalel, empowered by the Holy Spirit, created and crafted the tabernacle. And we are reminded that beauty and skill are also Spirit-filled. Micah, who confronted the kings and the systems with compassion and truth, carrying God's heart into the politics and governments. David, the worshipful warrior, the poet king, a man after God's own heart. Yes, he was flawed, but he was Spirit-led. Mary, the mother of Jesus, quiet, courageous. Yes, changed the world. Her yes changed the world. Her obedience and trust and humility showed us that the Spirit works profoundly through hidden faithfulness. Paul, that sharp-minded, tireless missionary whose Spirit-empowered teaching shaped the early church. And Esther, of course, I couldn't just not say Esther, a courageous advocate, a Spirit-empowered risk-taker who stepped into danger to save others when it counted most. Do you see it? Not one of them looked the same. Not one of them carried the same personality or gifting, passion or calling. It is one Spirit, but expressed in wildly different ways. Here is the good news for us. We may never confront kings or rescue a nation. We may not build, we might not ever build a tabernacle or paint in St. Paul's Cathedral or preach across countries, but we are placed intentionally, purposefully by the same Spirit. Wherever you find yourself, at school taking exams, at university with new housemates, at work with that challenging colleague, or at home with little ones or retired, wherever you are, wherever we are, our friendships and our neighborhoods, we are positioned to be Spirit-filled influencers on with the people around us. The question is, are we listening to his voice? Are we awake to the purpose that he has placed in our lives? Are we attentive to the way the Spirit works uniquely through each one of us? Because there is one Spirit, same God. There's many manifestations. There's many different personalities, even within this room, but it's all for the glory of God. But I can hear you, kind of, some of you would be going, but how do we know the Spirit is real in us? And when is he calling us to carry out certain tasks? Deep intuition. Knowing something so deeply, but without being able to prove it. So let's take this idea of love and my experience of love. Oh, it's lovely. James and I actually met when I was 15, and then we were engaged by 17, 2 years later, and then married by 19. Some of you in the room have got children from age 19 to 15 to 19 are probably going, her poor parents. They were very accommodating and kind in the end. James did well, let's just say. But everyone thought it was reckless, as you probably are also going, my goodness, if you're a 19-year-old now, I probably also would be going, are you sure? Even when I was told that I was throwing my life away from people who didn't feel the value in marriage, and I even prayed that God would help me fall out of love with James in case it wasn't right. But that love never left, because it was real. It was deep. It was that gut knowing. I knew I loved him and I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. And that intuition could not be shaken. Again, my poor parents. Like love, the Spirit is invisible, but it's undeniable. The Spirit's presence often is a deep inner knowing, his whisper, his conviction, his comfort, his nudge, or his presence and his presence. In Romans 8, it says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. And in Galatians, it says the Spirit cries, Abba, Father, within us. But now, I feel like we need to get practical, because there's often times where we hear a lot of things, but actually we need to go, well, what do we do with all of this? Because relationship requires more than just ideas. We need rhythms. So what does relationship with the Spirit actually look like in our daily lives? And I want to give you 4 simple rhythms to help us walk with him every day. Daily invitation. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, awaken. Help me to be awoken to your presence in me. Before the day gets noisy, before you pick up your phone, before you have a child run in, whatever it is you have in that moment, but in the mornings, okay, sometimes it doesn't even work like that, but whatever point you can get for 20 seconds, if it's in the shower or in the bathroom, Holy Spirit, I need you. Lead my thoughts, my reactions, conversations, and decisions today. This reawakens the awareness of the one who already dwells within us. Maybe it's holy pauses. Sounds very Christian. But we just pause, learning to notice him. Throughout your day, build tiny pockets of attention that you can be thinking, help me, talk to me. Before a meeting, maybe, a challenging meeting that you're going into, knowing you're going to have to confront that person or knowing that that person's going to confront you, God, help me in this moment. Holy Spirit, speak to me. During conflict, I can guarantee that when we've been married now 21 years, and actually those moments where I've gone and we're having an argument, never happens really, does it? I mean, never. But we do argue. But actually in those moments, actually I'm aware that I am not perfect. And so actually in that moment, I need to say, Holy Spirit, help me to see the other side. Or help me to be humble enough to say sorry. While making dinner, sometimes you just need to talk to the Holy Spirit. God, what am I doing right now? What have you been talking to me through the day? Those moments where actually sometimes we can just be blindly like on our phone and mixing a pot or anything like that, we can build these tiny pockets into our day. But also when we feel overwhelmed, Holy Spirit, help me. Pause for 20 seconds in the middle of your day. What are you doing right now? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Why have you called me to this job? Why have you called me to this city? Why have I got what I've got in my life? Help me understand. Knowing the nearness is everywhere will help you build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Obey those gentle nudges. That's always hard. Obedience. When you know that the Spirit is leading you in a very subtle way, it's normally in a very subtle way, isn't it? That you need to go and encourage that person who has just been really difficult, but you know that God wants you to encourage them. Or actually, it's that conviction to apologize. You knew that you actually were quite sharp with your tongue. You didn't really do anything wrong, but actually your approach, you know in your heart your approach was wrong. Maybe the Spirit also prompts us to pray. Pray for ourselves, but also pray for those around us. When someone says to you, I'm not feeling very well, I've got a bad back. You know, we go, oh, have you been to the doctors? Oh, have you been to a physio? Have you had paracetamol? And then actually find ourselves going, oh, you know, do you know what? Actually, the most powerful thing I can do right now is pray for you. The idea is to look like Jesus in our world around us. So one thing is if it aligns with scripture and produces the fruit of the Spirit and moves you towards love, it is most likely going to be the Spirit. Obedience deepens intimacy. And then at the end of the day, before bed, taking one moment before you sleep, depending on how quickly you fall asleep. If you're anything like me, I take forever to fall asleep because I'm still churning through those thoughts of the day and those things that I didn't quite do or that look that I probably gave that person. Overthinker much. Whereas actually James is out like a light, no problem at all, even before I finish talking sometimes. But whichever end of the spectrum you are at, take a moment. Where did I sense you to get it today, God? Where did I ignore you? What were you showing me? Because I've started working full time, I found myself doing what I just explained there, overthinking everything, and I had to try and switch myself off from that noise in my head. And so actually I found Lectio 365. It works for some people, works for us. It's not a thing that I do every single day, but actually when my mind is racing and when I feel overwhelmed, going to something that is going to shut those thoughts down and redirect me to God helps me to be at peace before I sleep. And so there's things like that. So I'd recommend Lectio 365, but there's probably lots of other things out there. Just to stop and go, God, I want to put you first again. Where did I sense you today? Where did I ignore you? This builds a deep inner recognition that is testifying, like Romans 8 said, that testifying that Romans 8 describes. So one thing is what we might want to do is like work out what this discernment framework, when you wonder, was that the Spirit or was that me? The Spirit's voice always aligns with Scripture. Always looks like Jesus. Always produces the fruit of the Spirit, like we did in our last series. And always leads you towards love, not fear. These four things will ground you in confidence in knowing when it's the Spirit talking and when it might be just a random thought. Have a look for where the Spirit is in your ordinary life. This is where relationship becomes beautiful. The Spirit is with you while you parent. Ask help. I don't know how to parent this child. They're collapsed on the floor and not moving. They might be 2 years old and I could pick them up, but they're still not moving. Or actually a teenager who doesn't want to get out of bed. Or someone who should have left home and haven't quite left home yet. You know, whatever it is, parenting, we need the Spirit to walk with us. In conflict, like I've said before. In tiredness. God, I'm really tired. I actually just don't know if I can get through this week. In decisions, big and small, buying a house or trying to choose what groceries to buy. The Spirit can help with all of it. In temptation, we all have them. There's no shame in, you know, expressing that actually there's this temptation that I have. God, I need you. Sometimes we do need others around us to help us in that. But actually, God, I need you to help me because I know I'm going to approach this moment and I'm going to have a decision to make and I don't want to be tempted. So Holy Spirit, work in me. In loneliness, you might be on your own, but you also might be surrounded by people and yet still feel lonely. God is your best friend. I pray with my children. One of my children, she sometimes struggles with friends. I mean, I think all kids do at some certain point. But actually, my point is for her is to recognize that her friend is actually Jesus. Yeah, we can sort out those things. But actually, we need to connect with this idea that Jesus, that God is our friend, our comforter, our help. And so in those moments where we feel lost, we are, instead of going to our phone and scrolling through to try and give us that sense of completion, is going to God and saying, I need you. I know you've placed people around me, but those people are not you, and I need you. In worship, when we sing songs, it's one of probably the easiest ways. Oh yeah, the Spirit's here in worship because we're singing these songs and the music's playing and my heart is going this way and I can sense there's something happening in my body or my mind. But walking in that, let's hear what God is talking to you about while we worship together, whether it's in church on a Sunday morning or actually on your own. Learning to worship on your own. I remember when I was younger, actually someone saying, oh yeah, I went home and I worshiped. And I was like, what? You worshiped on your own. I'm not a musician. So I then went, oh, they're a guitarist. That's why they can worship like that. But actually learning to worship on your own creates that deep intimacy where you hear God's voice. Oh, it's just wonderful. I love it. And also in silence, which I think in our day and age, silence is something that is, we don't find. Because even if you've got everything switched off, there's a car going past, there's an ambulance going past, or anything like that, but actually stopping and going, Holy Spirit, talk to me. Holy Spirit, show me who you are, and I'm just going to sit here in silence. Even that silence there makes everyone go, oh, she's not talking. You start to feel a little bit antsy in that moment, but actually learn the silence of listening to the Spirit. The Quakers do it very well, apparently. So if you don't know the Quakers, go and find that out another time. But the Holy Spirit doesn't meet us just at the front of church. He indwells. He's permanently present in us. So whether we're at the kitchen sink or filling up petrol, walking to lectures, or working on the latest project at work, he is with us. And this is what Paul says. You are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you. He's not occasionally near you. You know, when you've messed up, he'll kind of like, well, I'm going to have to move away from you now. He is constantly with you. He has not left you. He has not given up on you. He has not stopped speaking. Particularly for those of you who would say that, yeah, I heard God's voice. Particularly for things like church. I hear God's voice and God tells me things about what the church should be doing or people should be doing. Or actually, just even for myself, can I encourage you to tap into that again? He is speaking. We often just put distractions in the way that stop us from hearing his voice. He is not disappointed with you. He is within you right now, right here, and always. If the band want to come up, I want to call you out. Not the band, the band can come up. But I want to call you out. No more hiding. No more holding back. For some of you, you've sat back and gone, well, it's all right, everyone else can do it. I'll just sit here and do my thing. Or actually, I just don't want to do it anymore. Come and receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, or come to be refreshed in the Holy Spirit. There's nothing special about the front here, like we say every week, but there is a chance. In James, it says actually to pray together is really powerful and important. And it's often the outward expression of something that's going on internally that's also a step of faith. Confession and repentance actually frees us. And there's no shame in it. We should be doing that on a daily basis anyway. And sometimes our body needs to follow what God is doing in our hearts. We know that if we don't actually move from this position, sat down physically, then that will be the posture of our heart for the rest of the week. My plea is today, do not let shame hold you back. Do not let comparison mute you. And do not let fear distance you. He is inviting you into a deeper intimacy today. And let me pray for us as we have this time of worship. And I want to encourage you to pause, to reflect, and actually come, receive the Holy Spirit. Even if you feel, yeah, I'm topped up, I'm good, I'm feeling strong, God's speaking to me. There is always more.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.